Today is Thursday, February 18th, 2015. This is an interview with Judith Altman.
Good morning. My name is Judith Altman. I was born in Czechoslovakia in a small town of 15,000 inhabitants. It was called Jasina. It was Czechoslovakia. Czechoslovakia was a wonderful democratic country, such as the United States. In fact, our first president was Tomáš Garrigue Masaryk, and he was a great friend of President Wilson. We had a wonderful, wonderful life, free schooling, free enterprises, no anti-Semitism at all, that at least we witnessed. In the universities, free, my brothers went to university, it was a free country. Unfortunately, that changed in 1939. I am one of six children. My parents, my father owned a general store. You could buy anything from a needle to a horse, literally. We had a big farm in addition, and we were quite comfortable. My siblings, my oldest sister, Bertha, was married, and she lived in the same town and had two children, my nephew, who was 2 years older, and my niece, who was the same age as myself. She lived about 24 kilometers from my home, from our house. My next sister in line was Charlotte, who was married, and she was married to a Polish guy. Jasina was bordering Poland. It was about 12 kilometers to the border of Poland. It took about an hour by train to visit Charlotte. She was married. She had two children, a 7-year-old little boy and a 3-year-old little girl. Very happily married, we were traveling to visit her very often. My next brother in line was Ira. He lived in Belgium. He was married and he had two children. My next brother in line was Bernard. He was the only fortunate one to leave Jasina in 1939 to the United States, where my mother's family was, my entire mother's family, including my grandmother, was in the United States. They left 1918. My next brother in line was a dentist. He unfortunately was the one who was drafted in slave labor camp right after our occupation, and I was the youngest. As I said, our life was wonderful, but that unfortunately changed in 1939. Czechoslovakia was divided in three parts. It was the Sudeten part, where the Germans were annexed to Germany immediately, and then there was the Slovak part, which Hitler didn't have to do a thing, because Hlinka was the best friend of Adolf Hitler, and this was a Nazi regime. The Czech part was occupied by the Czechs, and my part, unfortunately, was the Carpato Ukraine, and that was given over to Hungary. Hungary was a Nazi regime as well, and they occupied us, but the part of Carpato Ukraine was treated differently than the Jews in Hungary. After the occupation, our life has changed drastically. We children no longer could go to school, Jewish children. I recall my friends say, "Judy, why aren't you coming to school?" "Because I am Jewish." "So what? You were Jewish always." They could not understand. Every man from the age of 18 to 45 was drafted to slave labor camp. Most of them never returned. Any property was confiscated by the Hungarians. They put in a commissar in my father's store. He was still able to stay in the store. However, the proceeds from the business was going to the government. We had a big house. As the Germans were going towards Poland, the officers stayed in our house. We had a little summer home in the back, and that's where we had to stay. But we were still in our home. Unfortunately, my father was a very religious man. At this point, the Jewish man wore beards. Today it's fashionable. When the soldiers saw my father, they beat him up. So he had to hide in the attic. And one of the officers told me, Judy, why? I spoke fluently German. He says, Judy, why are you going to the attic every day? I said, I'm bringing food to my father because your soldiers are beating him up and tearing his beard. He says, as long as I am here, you needn't worry. But he was only there for 2 days, and he marched on. Again, we were still home, unlike in other parts of Europe where the Jews were gathered into ghettos. We were able to, my mother was, since, yes, we had many cows and horses and all kind of animals, but they left us one cow. So we were still able to have butter and milk, and we had a huge garden, so we had potatoes and other things. As long as we were still home, my mother was able to send some food to my sister Charlotte with a peasant. One day, the peasant came back, and he told us, I regret, Mrs. Vorochana, I could not deliver the food to Charlotte, but I witnessed her execution. They gathered the Jews in that small town. It was called Mikulichin. It was a small town of about 25,000 inhabitants. They made them go out of town, made them dig their own grave in the brutality. They killed the children, they made them undress so that they could utilize the clothes as well. They killed the children first, the husbands later, and the aunt, the mothers. And the peasant told that to my parents. It was the most horrible news we have ever got. Again, what do you do with children? We could not go to a movie. We could not go to a coffee house. We could not even walk on the street. We had under gutter, under street. We had to walk under gutter. The curfew was 6 o'clock. We were not allowed to have a radio, even a newspaper was difficult to buy. We did have a radio, but we had it hidden. So when my father put on the radio and listened to the British news, somebody had to stand outside and wait whether somebody is coming, whether the police is coming. There were lots of informants. Yes, there was a law that anybody who didn't pay taxes in 1850 in any region in Europe was automatically deported to Poland. Regardless whether he was born in England, France, or the United States, he was deported to Poland. There were not days where there were buses and trains coming through Jasina to deport these people. They used to come in buses and ask us, please help us. We could not do it. They went to the border. Most of them never reached Poland because they were shot before they even reached the border. My older sister, Bertha, could not produce this paper. My brother-in-law could not. So they too were deported. Fortunately, they stayed with Charlotte until 1942, when she was still home. Subsequently, they smuggled themselves for money back with peasants, and they were hiding out. My sister is somewhere else at the peasants, and my brother-in-law in another place. But Ira, my nephew, was a very tall young man, and he was hiding in our house. We had a little wooden box from margarine, I remember. It was the size of the table, perhaps. He got under that box because there were razzias. The police came every other day to do razzias, they call it a razzia. And with a bayonet, they were going and poking. And one day they came so close to Ira that it was just by a millimeter that they didn't hit him. My father was petrified. He says, "Isha, you gotta go because this is dangerous. You're going, if they find him, they kill all of us, including him." So they went to Hungary and they were hiding there for another 2 years. Again, it was a difficult years. But that too, oh yes, the news, every day there are different rumors. Today they are taking mothers away. Today they are taking young girls away. There was a chance for me to go into kinder transport to go to England. And my father said, "Julie, go. You'll save your life." I said, "No way." I was the only one left with my parents, and I was not going to leave them alone.